Welcome to Now You Know. I'm Catherine.
And I'm Jen.
Thank you so much for tuning in this month. We hope you've had a chance to listen to some of our podcasts on the topic of animals and science. It's been a really interesting month. We haven't been able to cover the wide gamut of animals and science, all the uses, but we have had a chance to focus on a few topics. We've been able to focus on animals in the classroom, animals used in dissection, also live animals in the classroom, and also been able to talk a bit about school trips to zoos and aquariums and that sort of thing. I think going forward, Jen, do you want to address some of the other uses of animals in science that are interesting topics that we'll be getting into in the future?
Of course. I think animal in science can encompass a lot of different things when we think about it and we think about most recent things that have happened. I'm referring to the month of June. If we look at cetaceans in captivity, one of the arguments to be for captivity for cetaceans is they say that there's a lot of research coming out of it. So they could be technically animals used in science. So that's not only it. You have also, so right now we're looking at aquariums, but we're also looking at actual labs. Some testing and some studies are being done on captive cetaceans, whether we're talking military or even just behavioral studies. If we look back at Dr. Marino's and Dr. Reese, Diana Reese research, they were working on dolphins in captivity, which I believe is why some of them have decided that they would no longer be using these. But yeah, that's just one example.
And basically that extends to all species, doesn't it? In terms of animals used in science, scientists are constantly studying.
If you look at cosmetics, this is, you could say that it's research because there's cosmetics just for the sole purpose of, you know, aesthetics. But, you know, cosmetics also can turn to for medicine, you know, someone that gets into an accident or so. Yeah, it's a very large umbrella.
And we've only been able to just sort of touch the tip of the iceberg in our conversations this month. But
absolutely,
we do hope that we've got you thinking about just uses of animals in science generally.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think there will be more subjects in the future. It's just I think we focused more on school and, you know, like regarding children, just at school in general and at academia. And so
exactly. So what did come out from this month from talking with our experts are a few important, like really simple actions that people can take. So one of the main ones is just ask your kids if they're dissecting in school. And mm-hmm. if they are, ask for an alternative.
You know, the websites I think were mentioned, they are on our website. And I think we're so used to it. It's something that is ingrained that you should dissect. Our parents did it, our grandparents did it, but you know, we're still evolving. There's things that we used to do that we don't do anymore, so why not do the same for animal dissection?
Exactly, because it's an antiquated system, and now we know that there are just so many alternatives. And if you know a science teacher, that was another message that came out, spread the word to teachers, because it's really, really easy now for teachers to get any kind of animal that they would have used as a dead animal in the classroom and just, you know, order a computer model of that animal. It's really, really simple. You can go to the ASPE Animals and Science Policy Institute website and they like take care of the whole thing for you. They can guide you through the process. It's really simple if you're a science teacher to use an alternative. The other thing, I think, other than just saying no to dissection and knowing that you can do that and you have every right to do that in Canada if you want, and the school will have to provide you with an alternative, is if you have a child whose teacher is using a live animal, whether it's a pocket pet or an amphibian, question that too, right, John? Like, question, where is that animal coming from? Because there's no regulation surrounding this. So where is that animal being sourced from? Like, you know, is there a better way? Maybe we can go out into nature with kids in classrooms.
When you think about it, like when I did my animal health program, we had an exotic pet clinic, and even for like, you know, to practice on cats and dogs, we brought our own animals so that you make sure that, you know, it's not an animal that you bought solely for that purpose. And, you know,
I love that idea.
Yeah, I mean, so many people have pets and would be more than happy to show, even just for a day, you bring your budgie in and you show kids, okay, this is a budgie, this is what a normal setup should look like. Ideally, you know, they're social, so you should have them in pairs. It's so easy to do, and I've done it. I've done it multiple times or some friends, like, okay, this teacher asked me to come with my ferret just to show people what a ferret is, what's the proper care for a ferret, and that's totally normal to do. It's not...
That's such a better choice than like what happened to me when I was a kid. I was telling Rob in NYK Politics, but we had ducks in the classroom. And at the end of the school year, there was a mother duck and a bunch of ducklings. And my mom ended up taking them home for the summer because nobody knew what to do with the ducks. So rather than introducing a species where, you know, we don't know how to take care of it properly, we don't know where it's going to go after. I love that idea, Jen. That's great.
Or even if it's not, just have a plan. Like, even if it's the teacher and then ends up adopting the animal at the end, but just have a plan. Like, it, to me, it's, I always found it was really funny. You do something without thinking it through first. Like, what's going to happen afterwards? You know, okay, I go get my animal. I have the food. I have the setup. But then when school's over, it seems that this part is missed a lot. And yeah, it's very easy. You put up an ad on whichever website, on a Facebook group, look, I'm a teacher. I'd like to show kids how to properly take care of a pet, or maybe, you know, even discourage people to own pets, because if I refer to my friend's experience with ferrets, it's quite funny, but the ferret actually relieved himself in the classroom, and a lot of the kids were disgusted because people don't realize that a ferret's a carnivore. So obviously the stools don't look the same than a rabbit, and that was enough to show people, okay, maybe a ferret's not for me. So it is an interesting experience because it shows people, it's like, you know, it's alive, it needs to eat, it you know, it can do its business a bit everywhere in the house. You know, it smells, it's not for everyone. So I think it is a good experience. I understand why some teachers would like to do it, but I think people don't take thinking through, like you need to know what you're going to do with it at the end. So
We need to think about the animal welfare consequences as well as the educational. So who are we going to take our messages to this time? Do you have a celebrity in mind?
That might be a long shot, but I was thinking, and I hope I'm pronouncing her name well. Her name is Shailene Woodley. She's an actress and an activist. I know her a little bit more through her activism, but I think she was the main character in the series, the Divergent series. It's like a series of movies about a dystopian world, but anyhow. So regarding her environmental activism, and she's a climate change advocate also.
Great.
So she was, like, I saw her a lot regarding the Standing Rock issue in Dakota. Regarding the Dakota Access Pipeline.
Right.
She was actually arrested, I think, also because she trespassed somewhere, and she pleaded guilty, actually, and was sentenced to a year of probation, I think. But
wow.
She's very, very loud about everything that regarding environmental activism.
Love it. Okay.
So, yeah, no, she seems to be big on environmental things. Regarding animals, she recently, I think it was in July, she became an oceans ambassador for Greenpeace. And I think she went on this really long expedition in I think it's Sargasso Sea. And she's actually studying the impact on plastic and microplastic on marine life. So, you know, marine life, animals. So I think this is where...
She sounds phenomenal.
I think she sounds amazing. Like, I've seen a lot of her things. She does some videos on YouTube, on Instagram. So I really like her. Like, again, I know her a bit more through her activism than actual acting. But yeah, I think we should give it a shot and try the...
Perfect. Okay, great. Let's go for it. Well, again, everybody, thank you so much for listening, and we hope you tune in for next month's podcasts.
Thank you. And please keep listening. We have more and more subjects coming up.